Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, we talk to an SDSU professor who was awarded a prestigious grant to study AI in public health. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. So think back to your most recent doctor's visit. Did you notice them using AI? Well, it's becoming more and more common for healthcare workers and researchers to use artificial intelligence. So some public health experts are now diving deeper into the use of it. That includes San Diego State Professor Susan Keene. She was recently awarded a prestigious Fulbright scholarship, and later this week she'll be going to Spain to look at how AI can be used in public health around the world and locally. She joins me live. Professor Keene, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here.
So glad to have you. And first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's so great. So tell me, what does it mean to you to be selected as a Fulbright Scholar?
Well, certainly it's a huge honor. And I think that the mission of the Fulbright is really a mission that is very central to me in terms of the bridge between cultural divides and fostering understanding between different nations and their people. And I think certainly right now that's such a crucial thought to have in our minds. So it's a huge honor for me.
Oh, that is great. Well, talk a bit more about how AI is used in healthcare and public health. I mean, what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of folks are somewhat familiar with that. And, you know, I don't want to go too deep into it, but I think there's several kind of what we would call use cases for AI in healthcare and public health. And kind of there's kind of four main buckets we might put those into. So first would be like AI to guide population health. So we might think of that as like predictive analytics as to who might develop a particular chronic disease or the progression of chronic diseases. Or it could forecast disease trends, so like when we might have an outbreak. So kind of like speeding up analytics of like how can we sort of do population health better. Then the second thing would be patient virtual health assistance. So this might be what we think about like chatbots. So things that might help you in your health as like one use case for this that I'm familiar with is around mental health. That it might be a chatbot that assists you with you want to chat about something around mental health, around maybe depression or something. We need to be careful around those types of things. Then another one is the frontline health worker virtual assistant. So these might be things for nurses to help them with their work to speed it up, maybe help with if they're doing any type of diagnostics to help with that. And then finally, physician clinical decision support systems, which would also include radiology. So I think the biggest area where it's really being used like day to day where people might be familiar with is with radiology and helping to actually determine like, is this actually a fracture? And it's actually quite good at that and it has very good predictive ability with, you know, detecting fractures actually, I think, better than humans.
Yeah.
We maybe don't like that, but it's actually really useful in that area. So those are kind of some main areas where AI is being used within healthcare and public health.
The possibilities are really amazing. So it has a lot of uses. What are some challenges in public health that AI is aiming to address?
Well, I mean, I think the area that really interests me and that's one of kind of the challenges is how do we kind of make healthcare and health and overall health, how do we improve access for people? How do we make sure that healthcare is convenient and it's of high quality? And so thinking about how does AI help enable that? And for me in particular, how does that look like for populations maybe in hard-to-reach areas, in rural areas, populations that traditionally have more challenges in accessing healthcare? So that's where, to me, I think the potential is bridging some of those gaps.
Mm-hmm. Do you see the current push against diversity, equity, and inclusion impacting AI's ability to be of use to various populations?
I think AI also has some challenges in that way, and that's actually one of the things I'm kind of interested in going to Spain, because I think they're trying to address that biases around language. So I think the way that AI is developed can also create biases, and that's kind of how I'm interested in what Spain is doing around language biases and trying to address that within their own country, because they have a lot of co-official languages and how they're working to address that and really localize things.
Interesting.
And so I think with anything, we had to be cautious about kind of thinking about how can we make something really serve the needs of all people. We are a nation with many, many people, and how do we make sure that healthcare and AI for health is really reaching all the people that it needs to serve?
Well, I mean, let's talk more about your Fulbright project. Mm-hmm. And tell me a bit more about what makes Spain unique for this type of research. I mean, you mentioned yes. that there are all these different languages, but tell me a bit more about that.
Yeah. So one of the reasons I chose Spain was because Spain actually partnered with IBM to develop what we call small and large language models in Spanish. So a lot of AI is developed using English and not so much in other languages. And so they partnered with IBM to develop these what we call small and large language models in Spanish and some of their other co-official languages, which really kind of helps to address this language bias that exists when AI is developed primarily in English. And then they're also implementing, obviously, AI in various parts of the country. So I'm really curious as to see how have they, as they've scaled things up, how have they then kind of localized and tailored things in different regions? So I think that's really one of the important things is you can't sort of say one size fits all. Like we have this great tool and we're just going to say, okay, all hospitals or all clinics have to use it. And it's like, it's just, we're just going to roll it out and everyone has to use it as is. But it's thinking about, well, how in this area do we need to adjust it? How do we need to tailor it? And what's really the process for that? And the work that I'm doing, I'm not really on the technical side. I'm more on the what we call implementation side, is studying how do we do a better job of both adapting things that are evidence-based, and then also what are the best kind of implementation models? So how do we do the best job of implementing something, and like what's the systematic way of doing that so that then we can kind of reproduce that way of implementing something? So that's really kind of the angle I'm taking on this, and that's really the big gap, is that there's lots of AI happening, but we're not really studying what's the best way to actually implement it so that it's most useful to people, to providers, to patients, to everyone, and it has kind of high usability.
Right. Will you be working with students while you're in Spain?
Somewhat. I will be doing a little bit of lecturing they have a Masters for AI in Healthcare program there. Mm-hmm. So I'll be doing a little bit of lecturing within that, and it's a program that has students from all over the world. So that'll be really interesting to learn both from the students as well as doing a little bit of teaching.
That's cool. So there's still a lot of, you know, concern around the use of AI in healthcare and more, you know, more broadly. For example, like research suggests that doctors might actually become too reliant on AI assistance. What are some of those ways that AI has been or can be misused in these settings?
Well, yes. I mean, I think like any AI, even like students using AI, right? If certainly it can sort of, it can give us wrong information. And I think that's one of the biggest concerns, you know, anyone has about using AI of like, it can be, it can give you something that's completely wrong. And if you don't, as a human, then interpret that information. I like to use the word interpret of like, we need human interpreters of AI, or we need to filter it. There are also some kind of additional programs that are used with AI to kind of do that filtering of. So it's sort of like you have the initial AI and then you have something else to do to make it to improve the accuracy of it. So I think those are very important concerns. And so there either needs to be a significant human element in deciding if this information is actually accurate and useful or not. Mm-hmm. Or there needs to be kind of that additional program that supplements it to ensure that the information is accurate. But I think that that's really on everyone's mind as far as we're not just going to use the information that's provided. We're going to actually interpret it or screen it before we use any of that information.
All right. Well, you've studied public health all across the world, particularly in, you know, HIV prevention and reproductive health. And, of course, we're seeing a lot of upheavals in international aid programs due to funding cuts there. What are some other challenges you're seeing to global health today?
Well, I mean, I think that mentioning the funding cuts, you know, I think people are thinking about how do we do more with less? And, you know, in a way, sometimes that breeds more innovation and it breeds more collaboration. So, you know, I think it'll be some challenging years ahead. But, you know, I think everyone's very resilient. And certainly the people that I work with, we're all very resilient. And I think that, you know, we'll figure out how to do, you know, the best work, the best science, and the best things for the people that we work with and the patients and populations that we really care about. And we want to make sure that we're advancing health for them. And so I think for us, it's really our heart is in it. And we still want to do the work and we'll figure out a way to do that work, whatever it takes.
Yeah, yeah. Is that pretty much your hope for the future of AI and other related technologies in healthcare?
Yeah, I mean, certainly my interest in AI, it stems from kind of, as I mentioned, kind of bridging some of those gaps, figuring out how do we, improve healthcare for people who kind of need access to healthcare, whether it be, you know, locally in San Diego County or in this region or globally. And so that's kind of my hope.
All right. Susan Keene is a professor of global health at San Diego State School of Public Health. Professor Keene, congratulations once again and safe travels.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
Here in Southern California, we know all too well the devastation wildfires can cause. That's why our mission is to stop the next one before it starts. I'm Brian D'Agostino, leader of SDG&E's Wildfire and Climate Science team, and we've built one of the most advanced wildfire prevention programs in the country with a team of world-class meteorologists using artificial intelligence and real-time weather data, all to help keep our communities safe. We're also building a stronger grid and using public safety power shutoff when necessary, because believe me, I've seen firsthand how unpredictable wildfires can be. But here at SDG&E, we face that uncertainty head on to help keep you safe. Learn more at sdge.com/wildfiresafety.